The following episode was recorded before March 2024, and while the content shared is valuable and useful, it features Rob, who is no longer involved in the business.
Hey, it's Rob and Kennedy.
Hello, today on the Email Marketing Show, we're talking to Megan Williamson about a passive method to grow your email list using Pinterest. Yes, I said Pinterest.
Can't wait to dig into this. Before we do, though, we would love to have you come and continue the conversation we are about to start in our free Facebook group. It's called the Email Marketing Show Community, and it's full of thousands of business owners just like you, all building their business every single day with amazing email marketing. Some of the discussions that take place in that group are amazing. Some of them, the ones we start, are ridiculous and insane, but there's some really good conversations in there as well. All you've got to do is head over to Facebook and search for the Email Marketing Show Community, and it'll pop right up. Go ahead, join it. We'd love to see you there. The Email Marketing Show Community.
He loves a loaf of cheese and jalapeno bread. It's comedy hypnotist Robert Temple.
And he loves all things space, but he wouldn't want to go there. It's psychological mind reader Kennedy.
Robin Kennedy can get inside your head.
Okay, this is something I did not know about you.
Yeah.
Cheese and jalapeno bread.
Yeah, it's really good. So, like, it looks and feels just like a loaf of bread. It's a bit orange looking. It looks like it's been down, like, the David Dickinson tanning salon. But, like, it's so it's a bit orangey looking, and you cut into it, and it's got a bit of spice and a bit of cheese, but not so cheesy you wouldn't like it. It's not, like, covered in cheese. It's not, like, dripping in cheese. It's just vaguely cheese-flavoured. Honestly,
so you like
Tesco's
your bread to be a jalapeno pizza, is what you're basically saying.
It's really good.
It's not, like, bitter and, like, sour as well, because jalapenos
no,
are.
No, and you can just eat it on its own without anything, and it's really good.
I mean, I'm not making a sausage sarnie out of that. That sounds like a terrible idea.
I go back and forth on whether I'd like to go to space.
Do you? Do you sort of get to the moon and go, oh, this is not for me.
I've changed my mind. Retreat, I think the idea sounds good. You're just too scared, eh?
Yeah, it's a bit like claustrophobia, but I remember years ago, I'm really claustrophobic, right? So I was going to go to, I had some gig, I think, somewhere in the Caribbean, somewhere, right? And part of the gig was you get to go on these little trips. And one of the things you could do, you could either go swim with dolphins, it was in Cozumel, you could swim with dolphins, or you could go on a one-person miniature submarine, which sounds really cool. It's actually just a bike but with a bubble on top. Like, it's actually
like
shit.
Like, you're in the Jetsons.
Yeah, honestly. Like, I felt like George Jetson. And so, but I was, like, really scared of going underwater. I can't remember which of my mates. It might have been you. But so one of my mates, I said, look, but I'll be underwater and I'll be really claustrophobic. And then my friend said, mate, the ocean's fucking massive. So I understand that it's this idea of being of a big place. But space is the same. I think, well, I can't get out. You know, like, you're just there. So I think it's a bit scary. So,
oh well.
I've been to the, you know, the space gaff over at Houston. That was like one of the best days of my life, getting shown around by an astronaut. Great times. Wouldn't want to do it though.
Show you around down here, not up there.
Exactly. Show us around once you've got it back, and I can go, oh, that's good. Yep. Lovely. Smells like space, tastes like space. Hello. We're a stage hypnotist and psychological mind reader turned email marketing geeks who love giving course creators, coaches, and membership site owners everything that you need to use psychology-driven email marketing to be the email marketing hero of your business. That means you get to make more sales more predictably in less time. And we have a brand new episode every Email Marketing Wednesday.
It's just Wednesday, mate. It's just Wednesday.
Love it. If you haven't already, if you're brand new to the show, make sure you hit the subscribe button, because we have a brand new show every single week with these kind of tips, take you behind the scenes in our business, in our friends' businesses, showing you what's working to grow your business, make more sales. It's awesome. So hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you fancy it, take a screenshot, take a photo of you right now listening to this episode and tag us on the old Instagram machine at Rob and Kennedy. So, Rob, we've got Megan in the wings.
Yes.
Ready and raring to go, but one of these three things is true about her. Full disclaimer, two of these things are not true about Megan, right? Here we go.
Yeah.
Did she move house because she thought the bedroom closet was haunted? Did she, at her own event, introduce herself using the wrong name? Or is her nickname for her partner the same name as her ex-partner?
Oh, this one's good. I think that Oh, they could all be true. I think they could all... They're all true. No, I think... I opt out of the question. I think... I've no idea. I'm just going to have to take a random guess, and I keep going back and forth with my logic. I think that
Sure, you're working out. What you think? Why are you discounting what?
So, obviously, we don't really use the word closet in the UK, so you would have put that in order to make it not UK, so that would kind of throw me off if you'd made that up.
Maybe, yeah.
To make me think that's the one. Own event introduced herself using the wrong name. Maybe if you were introducing somebody else, and then that doesn't seem to make any sense. Nickname for the partners. The way you worded that to that question makes me think it's not that. I'm going to go.
So
with,
it's none of them, then, is what you're saying.
I'm going to go with the first one. I'm going to go with a haunted closet.
Megan, which one's true?
Well, it's questionable whether I even believe in ghosts, but I actually did introduce myself with the wrong name at my own event. I was so nervous and way more, like three times more than the amount of people I anticipated showed up live. So I had 1,000 people on me. I was anticipating probably like 200 to 300 to show up. And I was nervous, and I just, it was the first thing out of my mouth. And I was like,
what name was it? That's what I want to know. William Meganson.
I actually called myself Megan Williams, which is my, like, the name that people often think I am, but it's not, like, you know, it's close, Megan Williamson. What's interesting is, one, my husband and I always have long jokes about, like, whether I believe in ghosts or not, and our kid is fascinated by ghosts. And also my ex, who's from Northern Ireland, isn't the same name, but if people think it's really strange, we were together like 10 years. And yeah, my husband feels like he knows him because he really is one of my best friends. We still talk. He text messaged me this morning to ask me how the kids were. So that's actually like the two non-true
a
ones
bit
have,
of truth.
You
oh,
know,
well, that's
connections
why I couldn't
to my
figure
real
out
life.
Which one it is.
It's because I'm a bloody mind reader, isn't it?
That's what it is.
Yeah, you're
this
good.
Is good.
This is good.
Anyway, Pinterest.
Let's talk about Pinterest, because we're all often looking for how do we bring more people into our world so that the email marketing we're doing is more effective. So, I mean, Pinterest, I'm going to be honest, I knew next to nothing before our conversations, before seeing your work on the subject. Because to me, I was like, that's a thing that, like, middle-aged women do over there. Then I realized... I'm middle-aged, yeah. and that was a realization to begin with. But I realized that it has such an amazing impact. So in case anybody's not totally au fait, it's a canny word, isn't it, with Pinterest and where it fits into a business, can you just give it some context for us?
Yeah. So it's, you know, your reaction or your experience is very, very normal. Even my own husband, he never used Pinterest until after we had our first child. And we're sitting on the sofa beside me. And he's like, sweetie, like, there's so much good information here. And I'm like, yeah, I know, it's not a full-time job. So Pinterest is a visual search engine, and it's one of the reasons why I probably fell in love with it as a blogger. So over 10 years ago, I was a home decor blogger living in Belfast, Northern Ireland, bored to tears, didn't have couldn't get a regular job. So I started blogging, and I fell in love with Pinterest because it felt like a online, like scrapbook. So they like to say that it's a visual search engine in the sense a place for you to curate inspiration, education, ideas, store your ideas virtually. So as a business owner, it's often a platform that a lot of people struggle to figure out. I did air quotes there for people listening. And I think it's because often people just aren't sure. It's not the shoe-in, it's not Instagram, it's not Facebook. And the reason why it's so powerful is actually what I said earlier. It's because it's a search engine. So at different times in my life, I've sort of, you know, been busier, come and gone on holiday. And so I'm not always super present when it comes to things that require day-to-day maintenance, like Instagram or Facebook communities. So my best friend as a blogger and as a business owner in the early days was Pinterest. So Pinterest is this place where you can curate videos, images, links to projects that you want to do, your next business move, or if you're researching, you know, a puppy you're getting. So people are heading there with the intention to plan a purchase or plan action.
High buyer intent, then.
Yeah,
high buyer intent, because people are solving problems.
Yeah. And that's where, like, people on Instagram, you know, even as a personal user, I go there to see what my friends are up to. I go to see, you know, the new puppy someone adopted or a baby shower that someone went to. Whereas when I go to Pinterest, I'm going to plan, you know, we just moved house. So we're planning what we're going to do with landscaping in the backyard, the color scheme we're using in my son's bedroom. And because of that, I'm looking for visual inspiration, but also those how-to tutorials. And I know a lot of people are thinking, yeah, but I'm a business owner. I sell a membership. How does that link to, like, you know, home decor? Trust me, there, you know, we'll get into it later, but it's not just for home decor recipes, which are a lot, the shoe-in. Those are the big five, right? But there is a place people are heading there in droves to plan that next business move, to learn how to scale their business. And it is sort of the elephant in the room. It's an untapped platform for so many business owners for helping you grow your audience.
So this is both B2B and B2C effectively.
Yeah.
Both. That's interesting. Okay, so let's take a look at, so where it really fits in is the audience element. It's not a conversion tool. So that's great. So the first question I always think of when I'm looking at a potential new thing to add into my business is, how does it fit in? Like, oh, Megan, I'm already doing a podcast and I'm doing my email marketing and I'm trying to be as gorgeous as I need to be on Instagram. Like, where the hell am I supposed to find the time, the content? Where does Pinterest fit into that in terms of what I'm trying to do with audience?
Sure. But are you singing and dancing
on
TikTok?
I'm not pointing at stupid words and lip syncing and stupid films from the 80s. No. No, I'm not.
Okay. So it's like your exhaustion is palatable. I've been hearing this for years. And I think that's really why, like, you know, the work that I do, before it used to be thought of as something, you know, you need to have a blog to use Pinterest or really leverage it to grow your business. And I've been working with brands and people who don't even blog, podcasters, all sorts of, so I've really seen everyone in the different ways that they can use Pinterest. And like, you're right, it's about growing audiences. And I think that when we think about, you know, especially if you consider yourself a small business owner, often you're a solopreneur, or maybe you have a VA or two or people who are helping you. And the idea of layering in something, I have to say, that's how I felt about TikTok. That's how I feel about YouTube. I have very good intentions, but oh my God, when am I going to make the time? Especially I have a dog, I have a cat, I have two kids. Anyways, life is busy. So the beautiful thing about Pinterest is I talk a lot in my own world about how you can leverage Pinterest without necessarily creating, you know, a whole new marketing plan. I really encourage people to layer it into what they're already doing. I use the term, and this is directly from Pinterest. I have the privilege of working with them, and a wonderful employee, Alex, said to me, we want you to repurpose your content, but with purpose on Pinterest. And I love that. And so if you take anything away from listening to this episode today, I want that to be the message, is that Pinterest is a wonderful place for you to take, if you are podcasting, if you are engaging in, you know, using Instagram as an arm of your marketing or your email marketing, it's all about taking those juicy bits, looking at what could offer something to an audience on Pinterest, whether it be sharing a tutorial. You know, we're all nosy people, right? Storytelling works everywhere. So whether it's images, whether it's a video, you know, video marketing is one of the best ways to engage and bring brand awareness to your business. So it's about repurposing with purpose for the platform and just tweaking it, right? Take that extra minute to think. You know, we made the joke about TikTok and pointing at bubbles. That doesn't generally do well on Pinterest, but taking that information, 7 tips to help you grow your audience with Pinterest, you know, tie it with my own business, or how to start your podcast, or 7 hooks you need to use on your next, you know, your email marketing this upcoming, you know, fall, whatever you want to insert there. I think that what's really wonderful is people, it's growing, especially we've seen exponential growth over the last few years, is that more and more people are heading there, also because it tends to be quite different than the other social media platforms. It's It's not as noisy. It's a much more inclusive, diverse place. And Pinterest is really intentional about that growth. And that's one of the reasons why I think so many, especially creators and small business owners who feel frustrated with their growth on other platforms, they're heading there.
It's interesting. You've talked about a couple of different media there. So images and videos and that kind of thing, and then repurposing with the purpose for Pinterest rather than just taking any old content, dumping it on Pinterest and hoping for the best. It needs to be sort of Pinterest friendly. So what are the best types of content? You mentioned images and videos. Yeah. What do we need to do with those to make them really Pinterest friendly?
Great question. So I think, you summed it up really beautifully, is that I see a lot of, especially a lot of burnt out business owners, you know, they come to me and they're like, well, I threw some of my Instagram posts up on Pinterest and I linked to a few products I sell. You know, I linked to my $500 course. No one bought it. Pinterest doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No one knows who you are. Like, you're, it's like, you might as well go shout out on the street. Who wants to buy? You know, it's not going to happen. And actually, I just want to mention something. Kennedy, you were saying, like, it's not really that place for that instant conversion. And I think a lot of people feel frustrated by that. It's sort of like, but I posted an image to my course or my membership or a toolkit I sell and no one bought it. Doesn't work. Well, no, we all know there's a customer journey, and the customer journey on Pinterest tends to be their planners. So they're taking 3 to 6 months to decide what they're going to do. So you have to think about that when you're uploading your assets to Pinterest. So you can link to I'm going to use some sort of in Pinterest world or Pinterest marketing jargon terms, there's different formats, just the same way that Instagram would have feed posts, reels, stories. We used to have IGTV. I think it's been relabeled just videos, whatever it's called now. Pinterest has different formats. So there's a standard pin that is an image that you can add a destination link to. Okay. So you can link to a landing page on your website. You can link out to third parties. So oftentimes a great example is I get featured on a podcast, I will create pins that link to your podcast episode because that's part of my world, right? I'm going to promote you. You can link to products. You can link to product collections. You can also do that with video pins. Now, video pin format eventually will be removed from Pinterest. We don't know when, but they're going to be pushing to some people to a concept or a format called idea pins. So idea pins are Pinterest's answer to the move towards engaging video. So it generally is a multi-page format where it's educational. You can use a mixture of much like reels or TikToks. You can use a mixture of images and videos and really teach somebody something in short clips, give them high value. And so that's where these different formats come in and why it's so beautiful is that you can link to. So just with, you know, some platforms, we're not encouraged to include links. But on Pinterest, with standard pins and video pins, you actually put a destination link for where people can listen to the whole podcast episode, read the whole blog post, go to the sales page. And so that's what's so wonderful about Pinterest is you add those pins and it's a search engine, so it indexes them. And then they go off and they'll bring you traffic and audience growing for months and years to come.
The little that I do understand is it's, like you said, it's months and years to come. It's not like that Instagram story where you've put it up now and tomorrow it is history, it is gone, it doesn't exist anymore. Pinterest can reward you later. So in terms of how much content you need to be putting up on Pinterest, because you hear everything from 1 to 2 pins a day, which sounds a lot, and then you've got other people going, 15 a day! And I go, excellent. I'm going to just sit over here and have some time to breathe and sleep. So how many pieces of content a day? And then maybe if you tell us it has to be 15, I would love to go into a strategy for actually how the hell does anybody create that much content about anything? So what's the number and how do we do it?
Okay, so like a good marketer, I'm going to put on my, you know, guru hat and say that there is no perfect number. The thing is, the algorithm is so intelligent that it figures out what is consistent for you,
so consistent.
For your unique account.
So if you don't want to do 15 today and one tomorrow and one the next day.
No, that is some like very out. outdated Pinterest. And if somebody tells you to do that, they are listening to like Pinterest of old, Pinterest like 6, 7, 8 years ago. So the way that Pinterest works is it does like any platform. It grows exponentially when you show up consistently and you add high value content. So if for you as a business owner, that's 2 pieces of content a week that are super high value, optimized for the platform, awesome. You know, Mondays and Fridays. Maybe it means that you're going to add 1 pin a day, 7 days a week. Maybe it's 7 pins a day, 7 days a week. But whatever you do, I want you to be consistent and optimize that content for the platform. All you have to do, right? Google's free. Go into Google. Pinterest image sizing, super easy, and look up the best practices for sizing. It is a little bit different than other platforms. And so there's no magic number. I have to say that like what I encourage people to do is to recognize what you can actually put into your ecosystem. So what are you creating for other platforms? You know, we talked about repurposing. Look at those video assets. Look at are you podcasting? Are you blogging? Do you have content that you could repurpose? Maybe you just emailed your list and it was a super wonderful high value email. Well, you know what? If there was 3 things you taught your audience or shared with your audience, take those 3 things, turn them into a nice idea pin with 4 stories and upload that. But there's no perfect number anymore. But what I would say is the more you show up and add existing content that you already had or new content, the more Pinterest
will love you. And just before we get
you.
Into like how we move people onto our list, which I'm thinking list building is what we're going to be talking about here rather than going straight for the sale for the most mm-hmm. part. But we'll get into that in a second. When you said it should be a high value thing, now Pinterest mm-hmm. is a system, it's a machine, it's got algorithms. So what is it using? What is it looking at to determine if something's high value? And I'll just give a comparison so I get some context, because I know, for example, on Facebook, in our Facebook group, if lots of people comment, that's like one of the things it really loves. Sharing stuff, commenting, maybe some reactions is quite good. Instagram has its own things that it decides on to prove value. How is Pinterest, what is it looking for that we should be aiming for that proves it's valuable?
So the thing that proves it's valuable, and you know, we are, I come at this from doing this for 9 years, right? For part-time, for a little while, full-time, for the last, you know, 5 years, 6 years, no, 6.5 years, saves are incredibly important. And a lot of people don't realize that this is the metric that really suggests whether your content is resonating with your audience and if it's valuable enough for them to save to their own account. So that's a little bit of a secret that not everyone has tapped into. So some people get overly impressed by impressions or, you know, how many people commented. And it's true. So on idea pins, people can leave a reaction and, you know, smiley face, a wow, you know, these kind of cutie things. And it's true that those are important, but what's more important is that people are saving your content. So if you think about that, what type of content do you create that would be highly save worthy, that they would think, I want to refer to this later? Actually, you know, much like Instagram posts. So I find when I put out infographics that help, you know, 7 ideas for your next idea pin or 6 ways to grab your audience, or, you know, it's something that is going, that they're going to want to refer back to. Remember, they're saving it to their own account to think, I want to take action on this later when I'm ready to do that thing. So a save is that metric that's going to tell the Pinterest technology that your content is highly valuable and that it's going to be referred to. And then the algorithm grabs that information and distributes
and is
it
just
accordingly.
In terms of technical stupidity, sorry for everybody listening here who's like, Kennedy, and I'll be able to hear everyone's eyes rolling at the back of their heads. I'm sorry. Is a save and like when they can, is it repin? Is that when people like repin your thing mm-hmm. to them, is that the same thing or are they 2 different functions?
Yes, repins and saves okay. are the same thing. So a repin is jargon terminology that Pinterest came up with. Save is probably a more generic term that we would, you know, us commoners would use. You know, you asked about sort of the Pinterest technology and how it determines. So, you know, I shared a little bit about the importance of saves, but the Pinterest technology has become so advanced that it uses and sends signals off for people who are nerds and like to, you know, tech nerds and like to understand this. They send signals to understand the quality of your website. So what are you sending traffic to? It visually scans your image and wants to understand, who should I show this to? Who is it relevant to? And then it also looks at the copy associated with that pin. So don't sleep on optimizing your pin title, your pin description, because it wants to understand. And also, like, not to overcomplicate it, but we have boards on our Pinterest account. So when you save a pin to a board called How to Start a Podcast or How to Start Email Marketing, and it's all about getting started with your email marketing, it's going to tell Pinterest, hey, I should show this to people who are interested in email marketing or email newsletters.
Right. So that makes sense. Loads of sense. I love that.
I'd love to dig into the next bit of this then, which is how we start to nudge people across. Once you've got their attention because they've found a piece of content on your Pinterest and maybe they've started to study it a little bit more closely and dig through your content, how do we start to move those people across to our email list in a way that doesn't annoy like the algorithm and stuff, but it also doesn't annoy the user?
Yeah, I love that question because I think this is where a lot of people are making mistakes. And I get it, right? It's like, how do I adjust my content to make sense for the platform? So the first thing I'm going to tell you is that you have to think about that you're giving enough information that you're closing the loop on Pinterest. So don't say like, I'm going to teach you 100 ways to, you know, to sell your product. And then the pin actually just teaches one. You know, like you can say three tips. And then in your copy, you say, and if you want to learn 70, you know, 70 more, head to my blog post or listen to this podcast episode. So I think one thing that catches people out is that they're not closing the loop. They're not giving enough information to actually stop somebody in their tracks. So once you do have their attention, what I would say is you want to think about, and I really think that a lot of people aren't using Pinterest to grow their email list. And for me, as somebody who's been doing this a long time, I know that Pinterest will grow your audience and get the eyes and bring you the brand awareness, but you need to convert that audience. And Pinterest often, unless you're selling something that's a low price, you have to stay on their radar in a much more intimate way. So email to me is a no-brainer. And the ways that you want to give them, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard this before, but having something you can offer them, high value, that gives them a reason to want to go get the thing. I also talk a lot about using really strong call to actions and call to values. If you're not telling people and to get the rest of the tips or to get the free guide or to watch the videos, if you're not telling them, how are they to know that they need to take that next step? So making it a no-brainer, giving them value, giving them a taste for what they're going to get, showing them, having a great mock-up of what you are offering to them, whether it's a freebie or maybe you're even selling, right? Maybe you have a tripwire or something like a low price, a tiny offer, $7 thing. So make sure you're showing it, use a strong call to action, and giving them a reason. Now I'm going to tell you that the next place where a lot of people fumble is their landing page. So we have been conditioned in a lot of, channels or platforms that the landing page that you're asking people to give their name and email, you know, that's a very private thing, is often a very short, sweet opt-in that Facebook and Instagram have conditioned us to make. I will tell you, the reality is that most people coming from Instagram or Facebook give over their emails a lot more willingly, especially if it's on your organic channels, will give their email because they already know who you are. And so they already, there's authority and familiarity there. Now, Pinterest users, they literally have never heard of you. It is your job to actually create a landing page that will convert your audience. And I always suggest to business owners to really consider creating at least a medium length landing page. What are they going to, and I know it's free, right? It's a lead magnet, but what are they going to get? What are they going to learn? Who are you and why are you the person to teach them that thing? And then give them those multiple opportunities above the fold, middle and below, you know, down to the bottom for people who want to read that full page. And you're going to have a much higher conversion rate onto your email list using a landing page that actually has some meat on it.
That's really interesting.
specifically from Pinterest traffic. We want to be using the landing page to give them more info before they make that decision. That's cool.
Almost got to sell a bit more, overcome objections, reassure people a little bit more. Love that. So in terms of our pin frequency, maybe this as a percentage or something like that, the best way you can express it, how often should we just be doing stuff which is value on platform that does not link off to a lead magnet versus stuff that links to something that's not a lead magnet versus stuff that does not link at all? For me, I think that's like three things. No link, link to pure value, link to gated content, i.e. a lead magnet. How do we split that up?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So it really depends on how many vehicles for content marketing you have. So some people come to me and they might only use a podcast to promote their business. Well, you know, if you only put out one podcast once a month, you're not going to have as many vehicles. So what I would do is do that content audit, figure out how many vehicles you have. The thing is that a holistic Pinterest marketing plan doesn't want to do one thing at the loss of another. So you create idea pins to grow your audience and create visibility and offer a lot of free value. Your standard pins are going to be for driving traffic, adding your new blog posts, adding your podcast episodes, adding individual, anything that you can link out to. And what I would say is like as much as you can handle, right? So a really holistic Pinterest marketing plan is going to be adding standard pins every day. You know, maybe if one or two a day, could be to old stuff, could be to some new stuff. I would encourage you to use as much new as possible. And then if it's in your ecosystem to do, you know, three idea pins a week, great. I would really look at if you're doing Instagram Reels or TikToks, they are perfect for video repurposing on your mobile phone. You can chop them up, add some extra text, optimize for the platform. That's what I'm doing. So I create TikToks, I chop them up, I remove watermarks, and I use them as Reels and I use them as Pinterest idea pins. And so I'm, you know, one piece of content, but I adjust a little bit for each platform. And for me, it's like a no-brainer, right? I do it while my daughter's napping. I put her to bed, grab that video I made, remove that watermark. And so when you talk about adding things that don't have links, I would say really you can, you know, that would just be great content for an idea pin, because idea pins don't have destination links, although you can put a pin link in the pin description. So I would just look at repurposing, you know, taking that content and creating idea pins, but really, really think about how to be strategic and share things that link out so that people who actually want to learn more or take that next step or read the full blog post or sign up for your freebie or get that $7 toolkit that's going to help them save them time, that they can actually find.
So let's say you're posting once a day, just to keep it dead simple for the numbers in my little brain. I'm going to post once a day, 7 days a week. How many pins in that week? So how many days in that week would you say link to a lead magnet, the same one lead magnet, obviously from a different angle with a fresh pin or something?
Yeah, well, I would. So Pinterest would favor new landing pages over existing. So if you're going to create video or images that lead to a pre-existing destination URL, I would say think about what the user experience is coming to your account. So if you're taking an interesting angle and offering something new, you know, and it looks different than once or twice a week. Now, people who are at an advantage if they're adding 10 pins a day, because if you did one pin a day to your lead magnet, a new image, but you're adding 10 a day, you have to think about when I'm coming to your account, how often would you repost the same Instagram post in your feed?
That. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. So think about what that visual representation looks like. Now you can do some things, change up the look, change up the copy, offer a new angle. That's going to help. But just remember, so if I'm a newbie, I come to your account, I want to learn about email marketing, but I see every three pins is the picture of you guys smiling with the same tagline. I'm going to think, come on, guys, like you don't got anything new. So it's thinking about that too, that user experience. And Pinterest talks a lot about that now, because that was something people used to do. Just take that same pin and, you know, again, and it was really icky at the time, and it's even ickier now.
That's really, really awesome. Wow. Okay, so we've got this awesome platform, this visual search engine, putting out consistent pins, moving people to that next stage of the relationship, not necessarily wanting to make sales right there and then, but actually it's a great way to build your email list just by being consistent and doing those pins. It's really mind expanding. Great. Love it. Let's get into this week's
subject line of the week. Subject line of the week.
What have you got?
So I shared actually an email that I sent recently, and it's my two secrets that I've learned working with Pinterest.
Okay. So why do you think that worked so well?
It works well because it does a few things. One, it positions my authority that I actually work as a private contractor with Pinterest, which is an extreme privilege, but it lets my audience, my email lists know that I have that much more authority. If Pinterest trusts me to teach Pinterest marketing, you should trust me as well. Two, everyone loves a secret, right? Like, who doesn't love a secret? So I think a lot of people subscribe to my email list because they know that I share best practices. These aren't best practices that just worked for one business owner or one random blogger. These are things that I've been taught by Pinterest. I've tested with hundreds of accounts. And I think that when I can share that these are secrets, I have a direct line. I'm very, very lucky. I have direct lines at Pinterest. So if something happens, I can turn to them and say, hey, what about this? What about that change? What about this? I'm noticing this trend. And I can have it confirmed or denied, or, you know, information supplied to me. So I love giving my email list a little sneak peek of some of those secrets that I learned from Pinterest.
I love it. That's this week's
subject line of the week. Subject line of the week.
This is awesome. I mean, it's clearly a conversation we could sit and unpack all day long. So tell us, Megan, for people who want to find out more about you and everything you're doing, where do we go and how do we find you?
Yeah. So you can just head to my website, meganwilliamson.com. I have all the things on there. You'll find my lead magnet, my freebie. Actually, I teach people how to, with my lead magnet, optimize your images and your video for Pinterest. So if you want to continue that conversation, that's a great place. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Megan Williamson. And I love showing up in both places when my life is not chaotic.
I love it. Megan, thank you so much for being on the show. Megan Williamson, everyone, or as she likes to refer herself, Megan Williams. That's it for this week. If you haven't already, hit subscribe on your podcast player, and we'll be back next week. Thanks, Megan.